Do you like playing hide and seek? Have you ever done it recently? Our children love to play hide and seek, especially in the dark. And all the lights are off in the whole house. And as a parent, it's fun to find like a really dark spot and just stay there until they find us. Unfortunately, my children seem to have super eyesight and always seem to find us. Our scripture passage today is about God who goes looking for Adam and Eve in the garden at the evening time, and God finds them. And it sounds like it's part of a hide-and-seek game, but it's not a game at all. It took place on the day that Eve and Adam faced deception and temptation. And for the next few minutes, we will look at four parts of this story. Four aspects. The first is that of temptation and deception. The second is about the fig leaves. The third is about hiding. And lastly, about being found. So first, the temptation and deception. Now, this past week, I don't know, you could tempt me probably with a punchki or something like that. Or all those beignets at the party on Tuesday night. And if you put some chocolate and you said, Ruth, don't eat that chocolate, and you put it right out there in front of me, it would be like, oh, it would just be so hard not to eat the chocolate, especially if it was from that good place in Kingsville, the Dutch boys, guys, or whatever their names are. That chocolate would be just like really hard to resist that temptation. But see, I always think about temptation as something really visible out there in front of me, something that I should not do, like the punchki I shouldn't eat, or it's like an open highway with a really fast car, you know? And in the text from Genesis, temptation seems clear at first what it is. God states very clearly in Genesis chapter 2, "Do not eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will die." Consequences clear. The limit is set, and all this takes place in the context of the relationship with God, of the relationship with Adam and Eve, and of the creatures and all of the aspects of the garden. But then, in Genesis 3, an additional character is identified. It's the serpent, the crafty serpent. And the serpent repeats what God has said, but twists it just a little bit. And sometimes, like at this part of the story, I'd like to just stop and ask God some questions about a few things. Like, so if God made the serpent super crafty. There's nothing wrong with crafty. But what's up with that? And why did God allow the snake to deceive God's beloved ones? And why, if God wanted people to be in relationship with God, did God give them such difficult choices to make? And why does God turn something so beautiful, make something so beautiful, and then turn it into a tragedy? Just like right off the bat, you know? Couldn't they have just been in the garden, kind of peaceful for a little longer? And then who should we blame? God? The serpent? The woman? The man? Elaine Heath was the main speaker at the Mennonite Church Canada Conference in Abbotsford this summer, and she spoke on this text in the Sunday morning worship service. It was very powerful, and you can watch it on YouTube. I've put the link in the bulletin. You can watch the whole thing, or you can just go where she talks about the part I'm going to refer to next. And she said, deception happened in this story. She said the people were innocent, like children, created good. They had no idea that something would lead them astray. They were in a relationship with the serpent. They had no reason not to trust the serpent. You know, it's the first time, like the first time I got one of those messages on my computer, the whole screen freezed up. It was like blinking and there were lights going and it said, please call this number and we'll help you, you know. And then I'm like, okay. And then I call the number and I'm like, oh, this is weird. And then I called George Sawatsky and he said, just turn off your computer. It's a scam, right? We don't expect to get suckered in. We're lured and suckered in at different times and totally deceived. The serpent groomed them, set them up, played into something that they knew, misled them, and they fell for it. Snakes groom people to trust them and then betray them. A man believes his spouse is working late until he finds out she wasn't just working late. A son or daughter is trusted with parents' financial affairs until they find out that something's been siphoned away. Workers want to better their lives, and so they believe an employment recruiter in another country, and they end up in Leamington discovering that they are human traffic. The other week, an organization called We Fight set up an office in Leamington in the last month or two, held a meal for undocumented workers in Leamington, expecting under 30 people to come. They were surprised that over 50 people came to the table. Betrayed, deceived. And betrayed and dismayed and ashamed and horrified, Eve and Adam realized they were naked and they hid. And they covered themselves with fig leaves. The second part is the fig leaves. And that's an interesting part of this story. Elaine Heath, the speaker, told us that she has a farm with fig trees. I've never seen a fig tree. They don't grow in Leamington. I haven't seen them anyway. Maybe they do. And she described how fig leaves, when they're put on your skin, are like stinging nettle. They cause the skin to burn and rashes to form, and it hurts. Of course, I didn't believe her, right? So I had to go and do some of my own research. Is it really like that? Sure enough, research shows that it can hurt you. So here, Adam and Eve, like, get this. Adam and Eve go, and they make clothes out of fig leaves that itch and sting and burn. Out of all the trees in the garden, they choose fig leaves. I don't know why. But it's clear that even though what they had done was been deceived and they participated in it then, and it wasn't a sexual sin, it harms them at their very core. And they cover up their sexual parts with painful leaves. And then God comes looking for them, wholly seeking for those who are hiding. And that brings us to the third aspect of this story, and that is of hiding. You probably have read the book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, or at least remember that poem by Robert Fulghum. And he writes about children who play hide and seek. And he said, well, do you ever have a kid in your neighborhood when you're playing outside with a bunch of kids, the kid who always hid so good nobody could ever find him? He said, and after a while, he said, we did. He goes, and then we'd give up and we'd go around and leave him to rot wherever he was. And sooner or later, he'd show up all mad because we hadn't kept looking for him. And we'd get mad back because he wasn't playing the game the way you were supposed to play it. You know, there's hiding and there's finding, we say. And he says it was hide and seek, not hide and give up. Fulghum writes, as I write this, the game goes on, and there's a kid under a pile of leaves in the yard just under my window. He's been there a long time now, and no, everybody else is found, and they're about to give up on him. Finally, Robert says, I just yell, get found, kid, get found. And it scared him so bad he probably wet his pants and started crying and ran home to tell his mother. It's really hard to know how to be helpful sometimes. End of quote. But God comes looking for Adam and for Eve and discovers that they're hiding. And God knew that it was not a hide and seek game. It was for real. We'll pick up the story from Genesis 3. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at that time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid himself from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." Eve and Adam knew that they had been deceived. They knew then that they could not trust the serpent. They knew that they would die, even though they didn't know what that meant. And it began to happen. The death showed up in brokenness in their relationship with God, in fear, in shame, and guilt, and confusion. And in the midst of all of that, God comes looking for them and finds them. Elaine Heath says, "Imagine the voice of God is like a parent who has lost a child." She said, "One day I couldn't find my daughter. I was in the pork chop section of the grocery store, and all of a sudden she was gone. And I panicked. And like a panicked child, God is who calls for his beloved child. Adam! Eve! Adam! Eve! Where are you? Where are you?" And like even Adam, sometimes we too hide. We hide so well that no one can find us. Especially those who've experienced abuse or trauma or profound pain or deception and betrayal speak of going to a place, a quiet place within, an inner place that's separate from regular life, and the real them hides just so they can survive. And people hide for all kinds of reasons. And people hide in all kinds of ways. They hide behind their work. They hide behind beautiful clothes. They hide behind their roles, their fears, their beautiful cars, their status, their big trucks, their trips, their wealth, their poverty, their silence, their indecision, their brash boldness. People hide their talents, their precious gifts, their best selves. They hide because of fear and shame, because they've messed up and they're worried about what's going to happen. And God comes looking for all of us. God says, "Where are you? I'm here. I want to be in relationship with you. Come out of hiding and be. Let's look at how things really are. And I will restore you. I will make you whole." And when God finds Adam and Eve, instead of death, he gives them consequences. Instead of fig leaves that hurt and itch, God sacrifices animals and creates out of them leather clothes, soft leather to wear. God offers them grace. And I don't know what's going on in each of your lives today. Hiding from God is lonely. Hiding from others can't last. Hiding hurts. But I want us all to know that God is looking for us, for you, for me, for all of us. And if we're hiding because we've been deceived, God's coming looking for us. And if we're hiding because we've done wrong or we're fearful or ashamed or confused, God is coming and looking for us. God wants nothing more than to be with us and to reestablish a close, intimate, comfortable relationship with us. And God is willing to do whatever it takes, even offering the sacrifice of his son Jesus to enable the forgiveness of our sins and to take away any and all barriers in our relationship and to restore us to wholeness. There's no need to part of us to hide. There's no need. We can be, God restores us completely. God takes away the stinging leaf and gives us soft leather instead. And so if you realize you're hiding for whatever reason, and you hear God calling your name, don't be afraid. Get found by God. Trust in the grace and let God find you, restore you, and renew you. Amen.